Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. Yes, we are here, we are live right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Yes, we are live. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, we are here live on the show. And if you are listening to me right now, as I state in every show, amen. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you're hearing my voice. It's not because of me. But if you are hearing my voice, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living. Amen. And that is a reason to give God praise. God has given us another day of life, and we are yet in the land of the living. And just like the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Amen. We praise God for being here again. We thank God for the watchman on the wall of this this radio show and over the network. In Jesus' name, Bishop Shalene Cook, in Jesus' name, we thank God for her. In Jesus' name, we thank God for being in the land. Amen. Today, we are talking about a very, very phenomenal topic today. Today, it is Saturday, January 15th, amen, of 2022. This month is going by fast. We're already in the middle of the month, amen, which is not weird to me because the Bible clearly tells us, you know, we're going to go through, amen, we're going to go through the years and the months and the days as the time draws nigh. It's going to seem, you know, faster, amen. It's going to seem like time is going by faster because the coming of the Lord is right at hand. But we thank God for being here on today. We got a phenomenal topic today. Today's topic is, it has two titles to it. Amen. And I'm going to explain why it has two titles to this. It's a title and then it's a subtitle. Amen. The title of this topic and this episode is Contend for the Faith. Contend for the Faith. And if I could use a subtitle or a subtopic, it would be With This Faith. With this faith, we must contend for the faith, because with this faith, amen, we have everything with this faith, amen. If we could go to a scripture to open up what I am talking about today, or what the Lord is trying to tell us today, if we can go to Jude chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. And then we're going to go to 1 Timothy. And all of you Bible scholars know, if you know where I'm going with this, you know. Amen. We're going to go to Jude chapter, well, there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. Amen. We're going to go to Jude chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, and then we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Amen. And I'm going to read that to you in Jesus' name. And it reads, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye shall earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men creepeth in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance. Thus ye know once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Amen. What this scripture is saying to us today is that we must contend, we must earnestly contend for the faith. The faith of God is a powerful, powerful tool in our walk with Christ. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I want to show you something. This is what the Lord gave to me, and this is the Lord showed me why he took me to Jude 3 through 5. The first two of Jude chapter 3, that we must earnestly contend for the faith. This right here is getting ready to show us why we must contend for the faith in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to read that to you. And it reads, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Amen. Forbidding to marry, and committing to that word is hard for me, y'all. I'm sorry. For meat which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, I really want to look at the first two verses in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. The first two verses speak very, very highly of what we're talking about today. The Lord told me to add in verse 3, but verses 1 and 2 is the reason why we need to contend for the faith. There are a lot of people that have, throughout the years, they have started out in the faith. They have started out in the faith, and they have walked beautifully with God. And today we are not talking about the sinner man, but we are talking about the sinner man. If you do not have the faith, if you are not walking in the faith, then we are talking to the sinner man or the backslider. We're talking to the church and the backslider today. But as the church has changed its moral compass of what the faith is, of what the faith looks like, as the way we should act in the faith, in the way that we should talk in the faith, in the way that we should walk in the faith, in the way that we should dress in the faith, in the way that we should carry ourselves, saying that, oh, the way the people taught it back in the day, it doesn't apply anymore. Let me tell you something. The way our founding mothers and fathers in the gospel, and I'm talking about all the way back to the Bible days, the way that they taught it and preached it is the same way, because God does not change. We change, but God does not change. The ain'ts, and I'm not going to call them saints, because the ones that are trying to dilute the word or are trying to change the word of God, the ones that try to do that, I'm going to call them ain'ts today. These ain'ts will tell a person that it don't take all that. The ain'ts will try to tell you, oh, that's the old teaching. But I read in the Bible, it says the old landmark. It talks about the old landmark. And it's telling us to return back to the old landmark. We must go back to the old landmark teaching. And this is why. This is why. Because the people, the saints of old, and I'm talking about in my mama's generation and in my grandmama's generation and in my great-great-grandmama's generation, I'm talking about them, those people, those sons and daughters of God, they didn't play when it came to salvation. They didn't play when it came to holiness. They did not play when it came to preaching the word of God. They were stern on what they believed, and they didn't come down. And this is why the power of God moved so well in their life. This is why they saw people raised from the dead. This is why they saw people in wheelchairs be healed. This is why they saw people speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance, and it did not take them forever. It did not take the sinner man forever to receive the Holy Ghost, because they were walking in the faith of God. There's a difference between believing in the faith and being in the faith. There's a difference. But they go together. You have to be in the faith. You have to contend. That's why the Word of God says contend for the faith. Now, what is the faith? There are three main components that go into faith. There's three main components that go into faith. The faith of God. See, our faith can be faith in anything. Well, I can believe, faith believing. I can believe in anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That's an old saying. But there are three main components that go into faith. And these three main components that go into faith are three things that we really need, that we need. Now, not really need, we need it. We need it to live and to walk and to preach, to be able to talk about faith. We need it. And I want you to write this down. These three main components we need. We need, number one, we need holiness. We need holiness. We need it. We got to have it to be able to live in faith. We need it. Simple. We need holiness. Holiness is not just a word. Holiness is a lifestyle. Holiness, when you walk in holiness, holiness changes everything about you. It changes your whole identity. Holiness is your spiritual identity. How do I know that I need holiness? How do I know? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, It says holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So if we don't have holiness, we won't even see God. Don't even think about going to heaven without holiness. You need holiness. And I know that people say, well, holiness is changed. Holiness is different. You can do this and do that and look this way and look that way and still be saved. No, the devil is a liar. The word of God did not say that. It did not say that. And you might say, well, Minister Adam, I've seen sisters and brothers wear suits and wear long dresses and all of this stuff and be as mean as a rattlesnake. And you know what? Those people, they're not contending for the faith. I don't care how it looks. But if you really contending for the faith, the holiness of God will change you inside and out. You won't look the same inside and out. You'll be separate from the world. You'll look the part. There was an evangelist at my former church, and she preached a sermon, and it was called Dare to Be Different. Dare to Be Different. It's okay to be different. It's okay to be separate from the world. It's okay to wear holiness. It's okay to put on holiness. Amen? The second thing that we need in faith is righteousness. You might say, well, holiness and righteousness are the same thing. Yes, it is, but it's not. Holiness and righteousness. Holiness is the lifestyle. Righteousness is the hand of God on your life. Holiness is the standard. Holiness is a standard. Righteousness leads and directs you. How do I know the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? Amen. Well, how do I know that righteousness? You said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but it doesn't say nothing about righteousness. But watch this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you're good and you're letting the Lord lead you, then he will lead you. He'll make your crooked places straight. Righteousness directs you through your life. Watch this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he's directing us in this verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is the hand of God being on your life and his direction. That's why I said righteousness and holiness, they go together, but they're different. The righteousness of God is God's appointed approval on your life. That's his righteousness. God's appointed destiny for your life. That's his destiny. That's his destiny for your life. That's why we can go to Romans. Romans chapter 8, I believe it's verse 28, where it says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to what? His purpose. Romans 8 and 28. That is the righteousness of God's approval on your life. That is your guidance through this life, through this thing called life. That is his righteousness. Then we have the third thing, and this is the final thing that we need in the contending to the faith of God. In the faith of God, we need salvation. Now, you can't have holiness and righteousness without salvation. You cannot have
These two things without salvation, because you cannot walk in holiness without salvation. You can't walk in righteousness without salvation. Well, the Bible, well, you can argue the fact that you might be able to argue the fact, well, there's gifts and callings come without repentance. That don't make you saved, and that don't make you holy neither. Just because you have a gift and a calling does not mean that you are saved. Let me give you an example. Let's go back to 1 Timothy, verses 1, or chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It shows you right there that gifts and callings come without repentance. There are false teachers even now that are preaching. And and some of these false preachers, they add in a little bit of truth, but they dilute the word. They add in truth, then they add in a lie. They up there preaching, but they not living the word. They're not living they're not living in the faith. They're speaking the faith. They're dressing up in the faith, but they're not living in the faith. That's why I said there's a difference. There's a difference. In Revelations, in this in the book of Revelations chapter 3, this is what the salvation is. Amen. In the, as many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. He said, and repent. This is part of salvation. You have to repent. To get into the faith, you have to repent. To walk in the faith, you have to repent. You have to. You ain't got no choice. Nobody. Me, I had to repent. Because you can't have sin in your life and walk in the faith. Well, you might say, well, I can argue that. Well, let me see. Well, how can you argue that? Well, the Bible says that he reigns over the just as well as the unjust. That's his love and his mercy. When he reigns over the unjust, he said he reigns over the just and the unjust. But he's not inside the unjust, because light and darkness have no fellowship. Come on here. Light and darkness cannot go outside. Can't nobody tell me. And if you find it, if you can see it, let me know, because I ain't never seen it. You will never, ever in life, as long as you live, and I'm talking about anybody, I don't care if it's me, Bishop Cook, I don't care. Ain't nobody been able to tell me not one time that they stepped outside in the daylight and saw the stars in the sky or vice versa. Well, I saw the moon during the day. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, have you seen the stars? Have you seen the darkness with the light? No, you ain't. That's why he reigns over the unjust as well, out of his love and his mercy for us. Out of grace and mercy, does he? And that's why the Bible says, must we continue in sin that grace may abide? God forbid. Because a lot of people, they're not contending for the faith. They're not walking in the faith. They're not living in the faith. See, contending for the faith is living in the faith. Simple. Simple. That's simple. It's that simple. When you are content in the faith, you are living in the faith. And there is a difference between being in the faith. Now, there's three key points that I want to bring out with faith. And I'm jumping ahead, and this is the way the Holy Ghost is leading me. There is three different things in faith that we must do. We must have all three, but a lot of people only use one. A lot of people only use one of these. There is faith believing, there is faith in action, and there is faith giving. Three different key components in faith. Faith believing, faith in action, and faith giving. Now, let me explain to you with faith believing. Faith believing is a person saying, I believe in God. I believe God can do this. I believe God can do that. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. You got all this. You talking the talk. You talking the talk. But your life is not lining up to what you're saying. A lot of people do that. In the church and out of the church. A lot of people do that. Oh, I believe Jesus rose from the dead, and they quote, oh my gosh. Jesus. They quote Romans chapter 10. I believe it's in chapter 10, verse 9. They love quoting Romans chapter 10. In fact, I'm about to go there. The Holy Ghost is leading me to do this. I believe the Holy Ghost is leading me to do this. Romans chapter 10. A lot of people do this. And I did not. This is not in my notes. This is how I know that this is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is leading me to do this. A lot of people in the church will tell you, and even these television ministers and stuff, don't nobody talk about repentance and baptism anymore. They don't preach it. And if they are preaching baptism, they're preaching false baptism. They're preaching the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is not right. If they're preaching baptism. And if they're preaching repentance, they what they do is, and let me read this to you. Jesus, this is the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 10, verses 9, and I'm going to read verse 10 because a lot of people leave out verse 10. Watch this. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's all people say. Now, granted, I will say this. It's in the Word of God, so it is true that you have to confess. Confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart. You have to believe. You have to believe. But what they don't tell you is they leave out verse number 10. They leave out verse number 10. When it comes to repentance, when it comes to baptism, when it comes to receiving the Holy Ghost, they leave out verse number 10. They don't tell. They go straight to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and they tell you that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you're saved right then and there. That's not true. I can sit over there and say I believe in God and not fully believe that what I'm saying. That's not. Now, you might say, well, you're saying God's word is a lie. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Because you have to confess. Confession is repentance. Simple. Confession unto God is repentance. Repenting, saying, God, I am sorry for this. I did this, and I am sorry for it. So I'm not saying that this is not true. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, this is, in verse number 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There goes that righteousness word again, the guidance. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. This verse 10 is telling us, verse 9 is bringing us up to salvation. It's bringing us up unto righteousness. You're not saved yet. It said you shall be saved. You're not saved. And I'm just putting it the way the Bible says. Just because you say it, you have to show some action. That's why I said faith in action. Faith in action. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 26, faith without works is dead. Hear me today. Faith without works is dead. You have faith in believing. Faith believing. You confessed that Jesus is Lord and you did all that. But if you have no action behind what you're doing, then your faith is dead. Then your belief is dead. Your confession. Look, let me tell you something. Your confession goes into repentance. Repentance is you saying, look, everything about me is sinful. Your confession is symbolic of your death, your spiritual death. I don't know why I'm going here today, because I did not have this in my notes, but I don't know who's listening, and I don't know who this is for. But let me tell you something, young man, young woman, let me tell you, if anybody has told you that Romans chapter 10, verse 9 is all you need to do, let me tell you today, anybody who's listening to me, that is not all you need to do. You have to have confession. Yes, you do, but you need to have action behind what you're doing. How do I know my action? What is my action behind it? It is Acts 2 and 38. You must repent. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. You must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, as they did on the day of Pentecost. Amen? Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You can read about the day of Pentecost. And you can read in Acts 2 and 38 that Peter preached the message. Peter told the people that were confused. They were confused. And the people asked Peter, what shall we do? Which means, how do I receive this salvation? How do I contend for the faith? How do I walk in this faith? How do I live in this faith? And Peter told them, you got to repent. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. And there are several scriptures where we see in the Word of God where people were baptized in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Nobody in the Bible, you cannot find it nowhere. You cannot find it anywhere. And I'm going to say this, and I mean this to the day I die. And I will stand on it. And anybody that wants to come on this show and tell me different, if you got scripture, show it to me. But you will not find it anywhere in that Bible, anywhere in this Bible, in this Bible. You will not find it anywhere. Nobody was baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You won't find it nowhere. You won't find it anywhere. Well, what about Matthew chapter, Matthew 28 and 19, where God said to go ye therefore baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's baptism right there. He was telling them to baptize in the Father, Son. No, he didn't. He did not. He said, go ye therefore, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He did not say baptizing. When you baptize, and this is for preachers, when you baptize a person in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you are baptizing them in titles. That is, Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. But there is a name given among men whereby what? We must be saved. And the name is Jesus. In Colossians 3 and 17, it states that whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the Holy Ghost today, because I did not have none of this in my notes, that I was not going to talk about repentance. I was not going to talk about baptism today. This is not in here. Jesus, there are three. Jesus, thank you, Lord. In faith, there is a standard of sanctification. There is a standard of sanctification in faith. There is a standard of sanctification. The standard of sanctification, it does three things. It does three things. And it also gives us something. It gives us something. It helps us, and then it gives us. This is faith given. After you've shown your faith in action, then I said there was three parts: faith believing, faith in action, and faith given. This is the faith given part. When he cleans you up, this is the faith given part. And in faith, there is a standard of sanctification. It cleans us up from the inside out. In Psalms 51, verse number 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart and renew what? A right spirit within me." That's cleaning you from the inside out, because once he creates in you a clean heart and renews a right spirit within you, then whatever he cleans up on the inside is going to show on the outside. Amen? And then not only does he clean you up, but he encourages you after he cleans you up to let you know, hey, you separate from the world, baby. You separate from the world, man. You separate from the world, woman. Let me tell you something. He tells us in Psalms 139, verse 14, he says, when David said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made," he lets us know. He is encouraging us. He's letting us know. Once he cleans us up, once he puts in that salvation in us, he lets us know, honey, you are the cream of the crop. Don't settle for nothing less. And I'm here to talk to the young people today. I'm here to talk to anybody that wants to know about this. When you receive salvation, when you receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, you are the cream of the crop. I don't care if you man, woman, boy, or girl. And people nowadays in the church and out of the church will tell you, oh, no, it don't take all that. Let me tell you, hear me today. God does not change. God does not change. And as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, there are people that will come in unaware, will creep in unaware. The devil will use them to try to pull you out of the faith that you're living in. That's why we must contend to the faith, because the devil knows one thing that you are supposed to know, that with this faith, that's why I said the subtopic is with this faith. With this faith. With this faith, there comes a lot of things with walking in this faith, with walking in this holiness, with walking in this righteousness, with walking in this salvation. He tells you, and not only does he tell you you're fearfully and wonderfully made, but he also tells you something else. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says in his word that, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." You're different when you come under these, when you come underneath this faith. When you come up underneath this faith, there is a standard of sanctification that takes place. standard of sanctification. Now, watch this. Watch this. I want you to see this. I want you to see this. In this standard of sanctification, not only does he clean you up, not only does he tell you that you're beautifully and wonderfully made, but he tells you that you're royal, you're royalty. And look, you might be a young person today. I might be talking to a young person today, and you might say, well, my mom has the Holy Ghost, but is it really for me? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 39. And the Holy Ghost is leading me to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 39. This is why I say God does not change. This is why I say God does not change. And then we're going to get back into the standard of sanctification. But let me go to Acts real quick. Lord is leading me to go to Acts. And everybody knows I love Acts 2 and 38 because that is the foundation of the doctrine of the apostles' doctrine. That is the key to the apostles' doctrine. Amen. Is having salvation. Amen. Acts 2, verse 38. I'm going to read both of them, actually. I'm going to read both. I'm going to read 38 and 39 to you just to show you why you should contend for the faith and how you receive the faith. And I'm going to read it. I hear you, Holy Ghost. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. Acts 2 and 38. And it reads, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Remission means removal. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, and this is verse 39, for the promise is unto you, that means me, that means you, that means your loved ones, that means your enemies, that means your friends and everybody else. For the promise is unto you, unto your children, and unto all that are afar off, even as the many as the Lord our God shall call. This means this promises to everybody. As we read in Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for the good, for them that are called according to his purpose. Amen? His promise, this is the promise that God had for us. This is the purpose that God had for us. And he said, I'm not just going to leave it to your loved ones of the past, but I'm going to give it to you. Now, watch this. Help me, Holy Ghost. Verse number 40 says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, now, watch this. Now, I read Matthew, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, right? Watch this. He called you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, once you come under the standard of sanctification and come in, walk in the life of the faith, you are now you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Watch this. Verse number 40. It says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untorn generation. The untorn generation is the sinful nature, the world. And I don't mean the world like the earth. I'm talking about the sinful nature that came onto the world. Save yourself from this untorn generation. Come into the faith. Come, because with this faith comes a lot of great things. The Lord is letting us know that we are a chosen generation, that we're royal priesthood, that we're a holy nation, a holy nation. You can't be, man, you cannot walk in this and not be holy. Everything about you changes. And it don't take forever. It shouldn't take forever if you really saved. My grandmother was saved a month before my father. Yeah, a month before my father. And my grandmother was only saved a month. 1 month. 1 month. And because stories that I heard about my grandmother before she got saved, because I never met her before she got saved. I wasn't born. But what I do know about her is the fact that I knew it when she got saved. Amen. I was about four or five years old, and she was saved and everything, and I knew my grandmama when she got saved. But my father told this story. After a month after my grandmother got saved, he saw the change in her. He saw the change in her. And that change was so bright. The change was so well that he knew it was something different about her. And she didn't know much words. She used what she had. She invited my father to church. And my dad, and this is before he got saved, y'all. My dad, she used what she had. She said, "Well, why don't you come on to church? We got a lot of pretty young girls there." That's all my dad needed to hear. And he came on to church. And when he went to church for the young ladies. He went to church to look at the young ladies. But he knew he needed something inside of him. He knew he needed something more than what he had at that time. He tried the Jehovah's Witnesses, didn't get salvation. He didn't receive what he needed. He was still in there. He was still in that sinful nature. But when he went to the church house and he saw a friend that he had, he saw one of his friends from high school at that church, and he got saved that day. I'm just going to end it. He got saved that day, and when he got saved, Bishop Golder asked him, "How you feel, son?" And he began to speak in tongues all over again. And this is the sanctification that we need. This is the sanctification. But it took my grandmother for the Lord to change my grandmother in 1 month. For him to see that and know that, hey, there's something different. So when I said all that to say this, when you come into salvation, you come into this faith. When you came living in this faith, then it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes something more to you. It becomes a cherished treasure if you really, really want it. Amen? If you really, really want this salvation, let me tell you, if you want this salvation, if you want this faith, continuing to this faith, if you want this faith, because with this faith comes a lot of great things. See, watch this. The devil, and I'm gonna say this before we're getting ready to go home in a little bit, but 10 minutes. But in these 10 minutes, I'm gonna show y'all something. In the standard of sanctification, in the faith, in living in the faith, in the standard of sanctification, there is protection. Psalms 91, it shows us that there is protection. Psalms 91. And I want to get these last three verses out of the way because I want you to see this. I want you to see this. I want you to see this. Psalms 91, it shows us what the protection is. It shows us. It shows us what it is. And it shows us what it does for us. It shows us what that protection is. Psalms 91, and he says, and it reads, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrows that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that waiteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." This is the protection. This is the protection. Now, watch this. Now, watch. Go to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. Go to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. Real quick. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verse 19. Amen. We're going to read this real quick. And then I'm going to show you something about the enemy. I'm going to show you. And it reads, "So shall thy fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, shall lift up a standard against him." This is the standard. This is the standard. This is the protection. When you come in and live in this faith, when you contend for the faith, with this faith comes protection. With this faith comes blessings. With this faith, see, there's a difference between believing in faith and living in faith. When you live in faith, you will never, ever doubt God ever again. When you believe in faith, you say that you believe, but when you talk in faith, I'm not going to even say believe. Belief is an action word. You're going to live it. You're going to live it. You're going to live in faith. So I'm going to say if you talk in the faith but not believe in the faith, not living the faith, amen? But this is the standard, amen? And in my last few minutes, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you. Faith believing. I'm not going to read it, but I want you to take these scriptures down. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, chapter 14, verse 30. That is faith believing. Amen. Faith in action is James chapter 2, verse 26. Amen. And faith given, which we read, one of the verses, is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and Acts 2 and 38. That's faith given. Amen. Now, watch this. At the last part of this, I've shared all of this with you. Now, watch this. The devil does not like the fact that you're walking and living in the faith. That you're that's why the Bible says earnestly contend for the faith. Show some enthusiasm in the faith. Go after the faith. as it's stated in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We have to earnestly contend for the faith. We have to go after more of God. We have to go after more of the faith. Living, look, we have to be so in tune to the faith that when we can see the devil coming a mile away. And the devil don't like that. Now watch this. The devil does not like us being in the faith because he has an agenda. He has an agenda. Now, God has an agenda too. We read all of what God's agenda is for us. But the devil has an agenda too. Now, the difference between God's agenda and the devil's agenda, God shows us his agenda. The devil tries to hide his. He tries to hide his agenda except the parts of our flesh that we desire. He don't want to hide that. He wants you to ruffle up your feathers of your flesh. He wants you to know that part, but he don't want you to know the destruction that waits at noonday. Amen. As we read in the scripture, he don't want you to know about the destruction. He tries to hide that part of his agenda. But guess what? God is loving and so merciful unto us that he even not only shows his agenda, but he shows the devil's agenda too. And so I'm about to show you the devil's plain agenda, just plain and simple. Go to John chapter 10, verse 10. The devil's plain agenda. This is the reason why he does not want us to contend for the faith. He does not want us to walk in the word that our founding mothers and fathers in the gospel have preached back then. Why? Because they have so much power. They had the power. They had the Acts 1 and 8. But this is the reason why he's having people say, it don't take all that. It ain't all that. Let's read John chapter 10, verse 10. Amen. And we got like 2 minutes, and I'm going to read this verse, and I'm going to get out of here. Amen. And this is the devil's agenda. This is the reason why he does not want us to contend for the faith. This is not why he wants us to live in faith. Amen. And it reads, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now watch this. This is God's agenda right here. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This is, he just showed us his agenda and the devil's agenda all at the same time. He said that the thief is the devil. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. This is why he does not want you living in the faith. But we must earnestly contend for the faith because God said, I came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He wants you to have an abundant life. Abundant life. He wants you, now, as I said earlier, in this last minute, that faith believing, faith in action, and faith giving. We must do all three. We cannot go without all three. We must believe in the faith. We must act in the faith. We must, the faith that is given unto us, we must live in the faith. Amen. Belief is saying, hey, I believe the word of God. I'm going to do what the word of God, whatever the word of God tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I believe it. Faith in action says, I'm going to do whatever the word of God tells me to do. And faith given is the salvation, is the holiness, and is the righteousness of God so that you might be able to live in faith. With this faith comes blessing. With this faith, you can move mountains. You can speak unto this mountain and say, be thou removed, and it shall be done. You can speak things as not as though they were. Amen. I hope that this topic has blessed you on today. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week and a very, very blessed weekend. If I'm sounding tired, it's because I am. But I praise God for being here today. I praise God for bringing the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, because this is something that God has blessed me to be able to do, and I count it an honor and a privilege just to bring forth the Word of God in Jesus' name, anywhere that I can and anywhere the Lord allows me to, in Jesus' name. I thank God. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week. I pray that you have a very, very blessed weekend. Continue to love people. Continue to love people. We thank God for Bishop Cook for allowing us to come one more time to teach the Word of God on the Spirit Alive Network. God bless you all. I love you all. In Jesus' name, this is the Spirit Alive Network with the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. God bless you. I love you. And if you do not hear my voice again, I'm going to say it like my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again or hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.